This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
We had a dream we'd go traveling together. We'd spread a little love and then we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song.
Traveling along, there's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today, we're continuing on with our Happy Holidays podcast. We're going to revisit some of the podcasts we've done in the past and look at their Christmas episodes and see what we think about them. And today, my son Caleb is back for his 9th time at the microphone. Caleb, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Caleb got to watch. Well, let's go ahead and just address the elephant in the room. Caleb went back and watched The Partridge Family again. If you are avid listeners of this podcast, you know that he was completely traumatized by his first Partridge Family experience. Has this been difficult for you at all? Or is there any redemption for Shirley and family?
No.
Ooh.
Complete cringe. Entire time.
Oh, okay.
Entire episode.
Okay. Now, just so we can put a little context into this, we recorded your first Partridge Family recording on March 15th, 2020. It's been a good year and a half, more than that. Doesn't feel like it, huh?
I know.
Okay, so you doing all right so far here? I'm going to be periodically doing a wellness check on you because I'm worried about you.
I'm lucky in my, I don't know if this is the shtick you want me to play where it's just terrible reviews of terrible shows, but I've only gotten like one good one.
Well, let's understand that all Christmas episodes are going to be a little, not to say cheesy, but what's the word? Warm and fuzzy? Did you get the warm and fuzzies at all?
I mean, I guess we can get into it.
Okay, when we get into it. Okay, so let's just dive right in. The Partridge Family ran for four seasons, 1970 to 1974.
Four seasons too many.
It was, okay. It was about a mom and her five kids that are a performing group, mm-hmm. and the oldest of which is absolutely gorgeous.
What, the oldest daughter?
The oldest son, David Cassidy. You said something about the daughter, though.
The daughter was pretty for her time.
She's a dime, you said?
She was a dime back in the day. I think Susan Day probably, and she has that 70s look.
She was anorexic, though.
Oh, that's a shame.
And she had a wild crush on David Cassidy that was not reciprocated.
Yeah. Dang.
So anyway, this Christmas episode comes from season 2, episode 13. It's called Don't Bring Your Guns to Town, Santa. It aired on December 17th, 1971.
Okay.
The IMDb episode description for this specific episode says, after performing in Las Vegas on Christmas Eve, the Partridges start the drive home. The bus breaks down in a town with only one inhabitant. Disappointed about being away from home for Christmas, the prospector in the town tells them a Christmas story. So,
okay.
That wraps up the episode. Done. Finished. Goodbye.
The end.
Okay, so now we start the episode. The theme song started. We just listened to it. Mm-hmm. Make you cringe, or isn't it a cool song? Come on, get happy.
The theme song's not terrible, no.
Yeah, come on, get happy. Yeah. It's awesome.
And then you watch a show and you get sad.
Did you notice anything glaringly different?
Not really.
Like one person is totally different.
No. I didn't pay that much attention.
You've blocked out the whole first experience, haven't you?
Was it the one of the little kids?
The little boy kids? That was a drummer that you said last time was so annoying.
He was terrible. He was just.
But there's a whole different kid. Playing the drummer.
Equally unresponsive to anything. That kid was a dud.
The two little ones don't do
much. Duds. Okay. They duds. That was the best acting children they could get.
Yeah. Well.
They duds. Yep. No mercy.
Neither one of them did much acting after this. So duds. There you go. All right. So as we've said, they're performing in Las Vegas. They're singing Winter Wonderland.
The mom's dressed like Austin Powers. And the David Cassidy has a pirate shirt on. That's the notes.
Okay. That's accurate. That's how you'd see it in 2021. And in 1971, it was just plain cool.
They love the velvet. The Partridges love some velvet.
They do. They do. Love some velvet. As it said, they're in Las Vegas. They're performing. Then they're on the way home. The bus breaks down. Mm-hmm. It stops. So the beautiful David Cassidy, Keith Partridge, gets out, checks under the hood, and says, oil is leaking all over the place. He concludes that it may be the engine block is cracked.
Right. And that would be done. You're not going anywhere.
If so,
you're done. You're like, it's done. Done. You have to get a whole new engine block.
Okay.
So you'd be done.
So he fears that that's what it is. But I didn't know that. And neither did their manager, Ruben, who said, for those of us who don't read clutch and brake, what does that mean?
And my notes for this section just says terrible acting. So.
Okay. Jeez.
That's the only notes I have.
So that means they are stuck here until they find a garage in town. But when the camera pans out to see where they are in this town, it's not really a...
That's a hell of a place to stop. I'll tell you what. Of all the places you're going to break down, you break down at the entrance to a ghost town. Which it shouldn't be that much of a ghost town. It's right off the road like that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, literally, they were on a highway.
They were on a highway and just pulled into a massive abandoned ghost town. Just so happens.
And a ghost town, by definition, is a deserted old town, usually in the Old West, with few or no inhabitants. So it don't look like there's going to be an auto zone or a garage nearby.
And it's Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. So they're going to be stuck. And Keith says, well, if it's the engine block, you better not make any plans for New Year's either. So stranded in a ghost town is a plot device used on a lot of shows back then. Twilight Zone, somebody got stuck in a ghost town every other episode. But anyway. Yeah, right. Wellness check. You're looking a little gazed over.
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right. Ruben is upset because it's Christmas Eve and there's a lot of women out in the world holding mistletoe over their heads, and he is stranded getting chapped lips.
Yeah, Ruben's a little creepy.
He fashions himself quite the ladies' man.
Not that attractive. Not an attractive man.
Not at all.
Just a creepy man.
Creepy man. Absolutely. So they meet up with an old man. The only inhabitant of the ghost town, his name is Charlie. He is played by Dean Jagger. He played General Waverly in White Christmas. One of the
main characters. Oh my goodness. General Waverly. Because I was, me and Dad were out there and we were talking about it. And he said, like, man, that voice sounds familiar. Like, yeah, me too. Because it's such a distinctive, like, like the way he talks.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. Yeah, I knew it sounded familiar.
He was in White Christmas. So this is his second most famous Christmas appearance. So they meet him and he tells them the nearest town is 12 miles away. Y'all are basically screwed. Anyway, nothing's open on Christmas Eve if you could get there. Mm-hmm. So Charlie, who's the entire population of the town, along with his mule, Ella. A mule?
Yeah. It was a mule or donkey, whatever.
Keith decides he's going to tear apart the engine and hope it isn't a cracked block. Meanwhile, Charlie invites the little kids and Shirley to his cabin where he'll give them some hot chocolate while they go try and work on the car. And Keith says, don't worry about it, kids, because the kids are like, we're going to miss Christmas. Don't worry about it. Maybe we can write a song about it someday. And he just off the cuff sings, stuck in this lonely town for cringe. Christmas.
Cringe.
Remember that tune.
Terrible. Cringe. Okay.
Yeah, so what do you have to say up to this point?
Yeah, they let the kids and the women go in with this strange man who's a one man living in a ghost town. Say, yeah, that sounds good. Go get some chocolate milk. Sounds great. We'll be outside. Y'all go on ahead.
They had Danny in there with them. They had a man with them.
Yeah.
That was General Waverly. He wasn't going to do anything. Come on. So Charlie is serving them hot cocoa. And the kids, of course, it's Christmas Eve. So the little kids are worried that Santa's not going to find them in this town.
Right.
And the man says, well, strange, because a little boy your age said those exact words in this exact place 100 years ago. I'm intrigued at this point. Caleb, are you?
They're all doing real nice. Oh, that's real nice. He talked, was killing me the whole time.
Really? He was an old man.
Okay.
So he tells the story.
Mm-hmm.
He says he launches into the story about the early days of that town in the middle of nowhere, and the kids way back were worried that Santa wouldn't find them. So the parents made a bell out of the purest silver, and the bell was so shiny it gleamed like a beacon at night. Every Christmas Eve, exactly at midnight, they rang the bell to guide Santa into the town, and it worked. They never missed a Christmas, and people came from miles and miles and miles just to see their bell, and some of them stayed right here. This wasn't always a quiet, shabby, lonely little ghost town, he concludes, as he looks out the window at the tumbleweeds making their way through the town. But as he's telling him this and looking out the window.
Oh my goodness, I'm falling asleep just listening to it again. This whole story was so boring.
No, he told the story about the silver bell and how it led Santa to their town. And as he's looking out the window, the town starts coming alive. So we realize we are in a fantasy sequence.
Wow. Plot twist.
We're going back to Christmas 100 years ago in this little town. Once it was a hustling, bustling place, good little town. The sheriff didn't even carry a gun. What did he carry, Caleb?
Oh, my God. He carried a guitar, and he just repeated everything to with the tune. Oh, my goodness. He was dressed in blue velvet.
He was dressed in blue. That made David Cassidy's eyes look beautiful. So sheriff's name was Sheriff Swell. And he carried a guitar instead of a gun, and he sang about the events in town. He was the only source of news. Like, there was a man standing there sweeping, and he said, he sweeps the streets and from dawn till daybreak.
And that was my favorite character, the man who wanted to hit David Cassidy every time he sang. I said, that's my dude. That's my boy in the show.
We met Miss Bell, who ran the saloon. That's Shirley Partridge. And the saloon served what?
Milk.
No, lemonade and lollipops.
No, they say, oh, well,
they gave milk later on.
Yeah, milk.
And the young school mom, the school teacher.
Yeah, because he kept getting the thing stuck in his hair. The sheriff kept getting
the lollipop
stuck in his hair. Oh, my God.
The young school mom was played by Laurie Partridge. So it's the day before Christmas, and they're in the little town. Everything seems to be going fine. But then the meanest man in the West rode into town. Remember his name?
Sydney.
Mean Sydney. Played by Ruben.
Yes.
Their
popping
manager.
Popping balloons.
And he's mean. He's popping balloons and breaking Christmas ornaments. And then all of a sudden they realize the big shiny bell is gone.
Yeah, who would have stolen it?
And then it says, someone stole the bell. Bell? What's a bell?
What's
bell?
A bell,
bell?
Bell? Bell? Oh, my God.
You didn't think that was funny?
No, not at all. That was not funny. It's not funny. I think I have one thing in here that was funny.
Okay, but here's the thing. Can you not appreciate the whimsy of being back in time in this? They're telling a story of what happened. No, okay.
No, because it wasn't like it was a real, it was not like an actual like Wild Wild West story. It was a lollipop stuck in your hair, sheriff singing, serving milk to the bad guy. Like, it was just, everything was weird about it. Everything was like,
okay,
silly. It was all silly, right? Okay. You don't think it was all silly?
Well, yeah, but it's a fantasy sequence. But let's go on. Okay.
But the whole thing, it's like, okay, this is just so silly. Like, what age group was the show for?
Well, I was like 10 at the time.
So were you the age group they were after?
Probably. They were after the teeny boppers.
I mean, I guess I could, because see, I approached the show like we approach all the other shows that were kind of for, like, I guess families, like everybody from ages 10 to 40 or 50. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of these sitcoms we do are wide age range, like primetime type sitcoms. And you're saying this was a primetime sitcom,
yes.
Right? So so adults watched it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
well, my parents never watched it.
Yeah, because they would have thought it was silly.
Because it was Friday night was the Brady Bunch, then it was the Partridge Family. So it was like family viewing.
The Brady Bunch is family. This seems, if with the way I view it as very kid-ish. Like, I don't think adults would ever like really think this is funny. It's kind of silly.
Okay.
Mom's like, I still think
funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Mom's like, I love it.
I thought it was funny.
Okay.
So they're all in the lollipop saloon, and Mean Sydney comes in carrying what he says is his shaving kit,
right,
but it's shaped like
it's
a big bell.
It's a bell in a bag. and it makes the big loud doing every time he says it down.
So they decide they need to get the bell back from him or Christmas won't happen. So they try sending the little school marm to flirt with him, but that don't work.
Because he's mean.
Right. And then they try and get him drunk on milk.
That was, I was like, what? Like she had that big elaborate like thing that the milk
dispenser
was in.
Yeah. I didn't get that either. It was weird.
See? Weird.
Yeah. So then they decide they've got to get Sheriff Swell to help get him back.
Doesn't work.
So Sheriff Swell says, I'll get him with a cunning mind and a glib tongue. And then we see him being thrown out the saloon and lands in flat on his back. Mm-hmm. And he proclaims, there's only one man who can help us. I'm going to sing throughout this whole thing.
And I have right here repeating everything cringy jokes.
And the man coming is the bravest of the brave, Little the Kid.
Yeah.
And it's Danny Partridge coming into town, all in white, all riding white, on a white horse.
Yep.
And the bad guy's all in black with a black horse. You see, it's all very metaphorical. Mm-hmm.
Deep.
And they tell Little the Kid that Mean Sydney has stole the Christmas bell and Santa won't find us. You have to help us. So there's going to be a showdown between Mean Sydney and Little the Kid.
He was retired.
Little the Kid, but he's going
to
come.
He retired and he's coming back because they asked him to.
And this is how it goes. They greet each other. Howdy, Little. Howdy, Sid. Folks call me Mean, Little. Folks call me Kid, Sid. You didn't think that was funny. Okay. Bell asks Kid if he knows Mean Sydney, and he says, it's been a long time. I knew him when he was just nasty.
And he said,
no, still not funny?
It was kind of funny. And then he said, I'd known him since he was all about this. All.
You haven't changed much, have you, Kid?
All right, that was kind of funny.
He's still little. Okay, we got something. But they're going to play cards for
the
bell.
But that funny couldn't make up for the cringe that had already happened.
Okay. They're going to play cards for the bell. They put all their stuff on the table. Mean Sydney has luck and $1,300. Kid has guts and 43 cents.
You love this. You love that exchange.
I do.
You love all exchanges between them.
That was funny. Okay, so the tension builds. They stare at each other over the cards. It's 11:58, only 2 minutes till Christmas.
And they got to ring the bell.
And they got to ring that bell or Santa's not going to come. But Mean Sydney says, I'm not falling for that old bet the bell to win the Christmas bell back trick.
I think it's funnier how funny you think it is. Like, if I were to watch it with you, I'm probably going to laugh.
But they get him to bet the bell. And he does. And then Mean Sydney says, I got a full house. Kid says, four aces. Mean says, loaded gun. Kid says, you win. And what does Sheriff Swell sing? Nothing beats a loaded pistol.
I don't even remember that.
I blocked that out. Okay. Midnight strikes.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gotten the bell back up yet. They've lost the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight strikes. And all the Who's in Whoville are gathered around singing outside. Seriously, voices from outside are singing carols. Miss Bell says it sounds like tiny reindeer.
No, it sounds like chipmunks. It was very weird. It was like, what do we put for this? I was like, wee, 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 wee.
And then she said it sounded like reindeer. I'm like, reindeer don't sing.
That does sound like, but it doesn't even, if a reindeer did sing, it wouldn't sound like that. I can tell you right now. It was Alvin and the Chipmunks. It was literally Alvin and the Chipmunks. I didn't understand that. I'm like, is this serious? Like, are they serious right now with this track, this Chipmunks track for the reindeer boys? Okay.
But they go out there and Christmas has come. There's lights and presents and trees and the whole shebang. Santa came. Somehow he came without the bell. And Miss Bell says, maybe the bell didn't bring Santa to town all these years. After all, maybe he came because he sensed the spirit of Christmas. Now, why is that funny? That's a beautiful sentiment.
That's it.
Mean Sydney says, I've heard their bell every year, and I've watched them get Christmas, and he got nothing. So that's why he wanted to steal the bell so he could get Christmas. Bell says, but the spirit of Christmas is love. Bell tells him, you can't expect to receive something if you're not willing to give. So they gave him the bell as a present. He said, no, I can't take it. And he gave it back to the town. So Bell says, there you go. You got your first present and you gave your first present. Lesson learned. So now we're back to the cabin. And they're all smiling at this wonderfully charming Christmas story that, by the way, Charlie told them and took their mind off the fact that they might be stranded.
And right here is where I said, I know how it ends.
Okay, go ahead and tell us, Caleb. Take us out.
Predictable. 100% predictable. They even threw in a little plot twist because old Charlie said goodbye, family, with tears in his eyes.
Keith and Reuben come in to tell them that it was not a cracked lock,
yeah,
just a blown gasket, and here, and Keith fixed it out of an old inner tube.
And here it goes. And that's what, as soon as they said it's fixed, I said, all right, here comes the typical story where he says goodbye, family.
The Charlie family says, pulls away.
And he's tearing up. And boy, talk about an emotional moment.
It was, wasn't it?
It was.
But it then.
Was. Then I have right here, predictable. I wrote predictable right here because I said they're coming back. And then they leave, mm-hmm. and old Charlie goes inside, and he's like, Merry Christmas, Charlie. Feeling bad, feeling down.
All by himself on Christmas Eve.
The bell is real dim.
Yeah.
The bell has not, tarnished.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. And it's midnight when he's going to bed.
He's going to bed, and then they come through.
He hears the bell ringing.
He hears the bell ringing, and it shined up, and they come through with a banger of a song. This is where it gets good. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yes.
And they sing it good.
He goes out the door. The bell is all shining. Who do you think shimmied up that bell tower polished? I don't know.
Wasn't it Danny?
But the bell is shiny and it's ringing. They're standing there. They've got a beautiful big decorated Christmas tree. They're mm-hmm. loaded down with presents for him. Mm-hmm. And they're singing and their voices are beautiful.
Harmony.
Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas. He stands watching them. His eyes are full of tears, and so were mine. Did you cry?
No.
But did it get you?
I mean, it was definitely like a good sentiment. Even though it was like a poor boy's pentatonics on there.
Danny was seriously over emoting. Did you notice when they showed you Danny?
Yeah, he was like getting into it.
Yeah, over emoting. But I was crying, and that was my main thought. I literally had tears, and then I thought, damn, David Cassidy's gorgeous. That's what I think in every scene. So then they go in, and then after the song, they run up to him and shower him with gifts. And then we find out, because they immediately cut to the next morning, Christmas morning, mm-hmm. they're home, and they say, we're so glad we spent last night with Charlie. Mm-hmm. So they spent Christmas Eve with Charlie, mm-hmm. which was wonderful. They've made a new friend.
Plot twist. Charlie was on acid the whole time. He told that weird story.
He did it to take the kids. He saw that the kids were upset about not being home for Christmas, and he wanted to take their mind off of it. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful story. As a writer myself, I can appreciate the creativity it took to make all this up. Or maybe it was true. Who knows? Yes, they were at home the next morning, mm-hmm. and they were saying that they spent the evening with Charlie. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to open their gifts.
Okay.
But the little girl's got a whole mistletoe of all the guys' heads, and they got to kiss her, and they hate it and everything.
Merry Christmas, everybody! When they sing.
And then they're getting ready, and then they like huddle up, and then they break the fourth wall and look at us.
Talk to the are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, they talk to the they talk to the
and
camera.
They sing Merry Christmas or something like that. And this is the only time that they all actually sang. Usually it's David Cassidy singing and Shirley Jones and studio singers with the beautiful voices we heard singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It wasn't this crew because that sounded like they were screaming at us.
Right.
That proved why they use studio singers.
Danny Bonaducci went over the top.
Yeah, he can't sing. They were yelling. But anyway, but they say Merry Christmas to the audience, and then they turn around to open their gifts. The episode ends. You're very relieved, aren't you?
Very relieved. I'm like, thank God.
But here's the thing. I wanted to do Christmas episodes, and it probably wasn't the best one to try and get you to like this show a little bit because it was a fantasy sequence. It's whenever they do fantasy sequences, they get kind of goofy.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you one more time down the line. We're going to revisit this show. Not maybe another year and a half. It's been a year and a half since you had to watch The Partridge Family. So now I am finding that most of the Christmas episodes that I'm watching have some kind of message. Do you see the message this one tried to convey?
Hang on, check on your lonely family members. I don't know.
Well, it was the kindness they extended this man. It was the kindness he extended to them.
Okay.
You know, you give and you receive, and then in the town, me and Sydney learned to give and receive. there's only one piece of Mom's Useless Trivia for this episode, and you're gonna find it very funny. But this episode is Shirley Jones and David Cassidy's favorite episode of the series. God.
All right.
And of course, they broke the fourth wall in this episode. And the episode title, Don't Take Your Guns to Town, Santa, is a reference to Johnny Cash's chart-topping country single, Don't Take Your Guns to Town. There you go. Now, before we go, Caleb, I have to ask you, what is your favorite Christmas viewing? A TV show, a TV special, anything? What's your favorite thing to watch at Christmas?
I guess the most iconic is Pee-wee's Christmas. For
me, Pee-wee's Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas.
I think Pee-wee's Christmas is, I mean, that, it's kind of like, it's always the whole group of shows that we watched when we put up the tree, that it's that Rudolph and Frosty. That's like the trifecta. That's like the Christmas trifecta.
Like when you hear that, it's Christmas. We're here. Do you think this episode reflects Christmas well?
No.
What does it reflect? What does it reflect? Ooh, you are really down on the Partridges. Dare I say, did you go into this with an open mind, or did you go into this? No. Okay.
Well, I mean, no, I went into it fully expecting it to be cheesy, but also because you said that Partridge Family, like the first episode was really bad. So I was like, okay, if the first episode was bad, maybe like because this is season two, so it got better. Didn't. Why?
Okay. I heard you really laughing out there, though.
Me and Dad were laughing at the narrator's voice.
Oh.
Oh, and everybody was doing pretty all right.
Well, then you found something funny about it.
No, it was funny watching it with someone else. Like, if it was just me, I just would have been, like, sitting there. But Dad being there with me, and then he was making fun of it, too.
Okay.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Okay. We're done.
That's the whole after questionnaire. No humor meter, no none of that on the Christmas
special.
Well,
we can do it. Yeah. We can do a humor meter.
One.
But I could have guessed what it was going to be.
No favorite scenes or anything?
Well, I'd like to know if you had an LOL moment.
No.
Well, then this is why I'm not doing them with you. I could predict what they're going to be. Favorite character?
None. I told you my favorite character. My favorite character was the guy who hated David Cassidy for singing all the time.
What are the other ones? I didn't even have them listed here because I wasn't going to do them. But it's pointless with you. It's just zeros all around.
Like watchability.
Watchability meter. If you saw this episode, would you ever want to watch this show again?
Zero.
Okay.
They put me in a chair and tape my eyelids open and my hands behind my back, the only way I'd watch it again. There's nothing that would stop me and be like, "Ooh, Partridge Family. Let me check out. Maybe I didn't see this episode." Was there ever a serious episode? Like, did they ever go down like the serious route, or is it always just silly?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to check.
You know how some comedies they have that dark episode.
They have it's what's called a very special episode, and they'll deal with AIDS. They'll deal with suicide. They'll deal with teen pregnancy. Yeah. They all do that. So maybe there is one. I'm gonna look and find and see if there's. Okay.
I'll watch the serious Partridge Family episode and I'll give my full take on that.
If I find
there's not going to be one.
Okay.
There's no way to go. Could you see little Danny Bonaducci trying to get through a serious episode without acting a fool?
Well, his life was a very.
He's a little bit of a mess now, right?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive. I don't know what he's doing now. He had a real bad period.
He didn't die. He never died.
He didn't die, no.
No, he's a. He's 62 years old.
Okay.
62. There you go.
Still alive. Still kicking, Danny. Okay. So there's a chance for a revival of the Partridge. Maybe they'll reboot it, Caleb. No, because David Cassidy's dead and the girl who plays the daughter is dead. The little girl.
Jesus.
The little redhead. Yeah. Suzanne Crowe.
Is the mom still alive?
The mom is still alive. Yeah.
David Cassidy died?
He died in 2017. I don't want to talk about it.
Jesus. I didn't know that.
No.
All right.
Drank himself to death.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Very sad.
Very sad.
Yeah. So let's end this podcast on a happy
note.
And
we go out as we come in, depressed.
Yeah. It was fun. And this was the only Christmas podcast I'll do with you. So Merry Christmas, son.
Merry Christmas, mom.
Thank you for coming and doing this with me. And we're not going to say goodbye. What are we going to say?
See you later. I gotta say goodbye.
What do we say? If we don't mention it during the podcast, then what do we, how do we say goodbye? We say Seinfeld, everybody.
Oh, I never did that.
You never did that?
No.
Oh, because you always mention Seinfeld. We don't have to say Seinfeld. We say goodbye.
Oh, there's always a mention?
We have to mention. Okay, we have to mention Seinfeld in every episode. But if we don't naturally and organically mention it during the podcast, then instead of saying goodbye, we say Seinfeld.
Oh, see, because I am very ashamed of myself for not mentioning Seinfeld at all in this podcast, because I know I've done it every
Seinfeld
time.
Seinfeld had no business in this mess.
Mm-mm. It'd be disrespectful.
It would be, yeah.
But I thought about Seinfeld when I was thinking of serious episodes to try and think of the serious Seinfeld episodes, and I don't think they had one.
No. All right, so we're going to say, okay, let's start this bit over.
Okay. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
Seinfeld, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is more funny than the show.
Bye, everybody. This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this week's episode. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcast and join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.